Welcome back. Welcome back, Home Improvement Show. Got a whole another hour left for everyone out there. So don't forget, let me know what you've got going on. How can we help you get in on the questions and the conversations? Maybe we can help you figure out your next task. 314-436-7900. And speaking of that, let's jump on to Mark and see what's going on there. We got Mark on the line. Can you hear me? How can we help?
Yes, good afternoon. I have a question about an attic fan. This is the type of thing that you would use in the summertime to draw in cooler air. And in the wintertime, I understand it's not the most efficient thing. I lose a lot of cold air that goes up into, or hot air that goes up into my attic. So my question is there a commercially available product that could cover that? Or is there some type of material you might suggest that I could use to cover that so I don't lose that hot air up into my attic?
Yeah, so as far as commercially goes, I know there are some types of covers that are made that will cover that fan from the attic side. I don't really know of anything from the hallway side, from the inside of the house, but from the attic side, they make these. I've seen them where they're kind of like a zipper thing. They make them for attic stairs that like pull down. They make them for fans, and you kind of put this like little insulated thing over the top of that fan, and it's helpful. None of these, there's nothing you will do that will get it as good as it should be, is like an R value that you should have, but you can still leave it there and make it a lot better. So covering that from the attic side, even with just thick moving blankets and that, just to keep that air, that can be helpful. And what I've seen a lot of people do in their homes on the inside is basically like a piece of plexiglass, like Velcroed even on there, or just something right over top of that grate to cover that grate to kind of try and keep that warm air from infiltrating through that grate and up into that attic. So you can try and do something like that, like a plexiglass or a thin sheet of sorts, a bunch of magnets that stick, the real flat, thin magnets. If you can get enough of those or a big enough one to cover that, that's a good way to do it, and that will be helpful. And another good reason to do that is because when the hot conditioned air from your home in the winter goes up into the attic, and inside of your attic, it's like 17 degrees, like we've had, you can create condensation up in that attic. It will freeze. You'll get frost on the underside of that plywood, and that will help rot out and delaminate the plywood and have you need plywood replaced when you get your next roof replacement. So there's even better reasons than it's just costing me money to have that taken care of, because it can actually damage the attic also, having that warm air go up in there. You there, Mark?
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are great suggestions. Thank you.
And the only other thing I will tell you is the next thing to consider is if you use that fan and you like that fan, and those fans are great at the right time of year, the right spring, fall, the right temperature outside time, they work really well. If you use it a lot, you can look into having that fan replaced with a unit that will actually shut from the backside and will insulate itself to the same insulation value that your attic is supposed to have. So you can take that unit out and put a new unit in that actually has doors on the attic side. So when you turn it off, those doors flap down, they shut. Those doors are about 8 inches thick of foam, and they'll shut and they'll seal, and they will do all that work for you every time it closes. Because it's good in the summer, too. In the summer, you get the reverse effect. You get heat permeating down through that, and it makes that hallway really, really hot. You got the AC running, and you get sweat on your hallway walls up at the top running down the walls. That can happen in the summer, too. So just a little more food for thought for you there, Mark.
Thank you.
All righty, you're welcome. No problem. And those fans, the new fans are really great that get you that R value that close. The main thing with those fans is when you have an old attic fan, putting them in a new house is great because you have trusses, they're 24 inches on center, and these new attic fans are meant to fit between there. Well, the old attic fans from the 50s, 60s, 70s, they're like 30, 36 inches wide. They're as wide as your hallway. So it's more of a square. So when you do retrofit, replace these fans in an older home, and the home age, the average home age in St. Louis is growing. It's getting older. There's less new being built, and there's a lot of older homes. So the average age of these homes that are getting worked on, they're back in the 60s now. They're 50, 60 years old. And that's why we have so much remodeling going on in the St. Louis area, is we have a large volume of older homes. But when you're retrofitting in an older home like this, you're taking out a fan that's 36 by 36 and you're trying to put one in that's like 30 by 24. Well, you've got a frame for it. You've got to insulate around it, drywall, paint, texture. If your ceiling has a texture, you got to get the electric right, change the switch, how everything works, and get that thing running. So you're looking at about four or five different trades coming in order to get something like that done. So there's a lot involved in changing out a fan and retrofitting it, but it's not nearly as bad while building. So if it's a consideration while building, if you had an attic fan and you liked it and you used it, it's not a bad idea to put one of these in a newer home, and it can save you some money in that kind of spring, fall, early summer, late summer time frame to keep that house cool and not just really running that air conditioner a lot or not getting that right. It'll turn down your AC a lot during that time of year. So they are very nice, very comfortable. And I put a few of them in, and it takes a lot of work to get them put in. But hey, what do you have going on around your house? What's going on for you? Let me know. We're here. We got plenty of time left in this second hour for you. 314-436-7900 finds me right here, right now. We're going to jump into a break. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll have plenty more home improvement and some more conversations and questions when we return. All right, everybody, we are back. We are back. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris here for everybody today. Don't forget, let me know how we can help, how you can find me, 314-436-7900. And we've got John from Baldwin on the line. John, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, Rich, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How's it going?
All right. Great. Hey, we've owned this house 17 years, and we have a cedar wood shingle on the home. And this summer into the fall, we've had this woodpecker drilling holes in our side, on the south side, sunny side. We filled it up, wood filler, and then it drilled a hole in 36 hours right next to it. So I believe they're nesting, or one is nesting, I don't know. But, you know, I'd read To Kill a Mockingbird, but I don't know how to kill a woodpecker, and then I read where it's illegal federally.
Oh.
So what can I... What can I do? Any advice?
Well, I mean, you're definitely spot on kind of the reason that they show up for the most part, either to nest or to feed and get insects out of that wood, is kind of the reasons that they're there. And I don't know that there's a super easy, effective way to just like make them stop coming around. I've seen people put out, like fake birds, owls, the like larger birds that are supposed to kind of help scare them off, rubber snakes, removing the food source through like insect treatment is a good idea. So treating for carpenter ants and carpenter bees, when you're in an all wood house, you're going to have a lot of these things. And that may be something that these birds are after. So keeping the house treated for insects and for carpenter ants and carpenter bees is going to be a good idea. And then I've also heard people talk about like different sounds, like having something that makes a sound that is like a might scare that bird off, a predator of that bird. If having some sort of speaker sound machine that makes an owl or a hawk noise, something like that. The neighbors might not like that, but
yeah,
you know,
I
don't know that there's a magic, just do this and you're never going to have, woodpeckers again. That's the hardest part. And when you're in an all wood house, I wish you a lot of luck.
It's nowhere else around the house, but we put up wind chimes and put aluminum foil. And, you know, I don't hear it much anymore. And it pulled out insulation once it created this hole. It's about 3 inches in diameter. So steel wool won't work.
So it's nesting is what it's trying to do. Yeah.
Right.
If it's pulling out insulation, it's trying to do enough to get in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to make sure it's out and then fill it up again and see what happens.
Yep. You just kind of keep on it, repair the damage, fill it up with the exterior wood fillers, and that's what mm-hmm. happens. They'll tend to go back to another spot. And, yeah, apparently it's a bad idea. You're not supposed to trap them, kill them, destroy their nest or eggs or anything like that. You got to get, like, wildlife people to help. If you get into wildlife control or something, if you get into something that bad. So, and then maybe hang some rubber snakes and stuff in the area too. That might help. Sometimes that's temporary, but if it gets rid of them for a while, then you take it down and then you put them back, and you know, that can be a good trick too.
All right, Rich, I appreciate it. You have a great day.
All right, John, you do the same. Good luck. I wish you a lot of luck with that. I had a client for years and years. I did work in his house as a project manager, built on, kind of took a deck, covered deck area, made it an office and a room years ago as a project manager. Then I did a lot of work for him as a consultant later on down the road. And he had a pond behind his house. He was really a lot of trees and stuff around him. He was a wildlife kind of guy, and he had the dark cedar-sided house, and man, the woodpeckers were just constant, and every couple years we would just go around and fix holes, and we would cover holes. We would just take the dark brown aluminum metal a lot of times and just cover over those holes, tuck it underneath the piece of siding above, and then kind of back caulk it and nail it on in front of it. So to just kind of cover that hole, make it a little bit wider. And he had so many of those on that house while he was kind of like working towards or waiting to get a complete siding job, which never really, he didn't end up doing a complete siding job. But that's like a never ending task when you have that and you're in that situation and you're in that area and you've got the trees and everything around you. It's amazing how those woodpeckers can be. So, and I also worked with somebody years ago that lived in a trailer in the woods, kind of not far off a river, and he would get woodpeckers literally knocking on this steel trailer, like metal, like it, oh my gosh, he's like, it is absolutely crazy how loud that is and why they would continue to come back and try that. I don't know if it's the look, if it's the color, but yeah, you can get trapped in that pretty hard, pretty well. And I wish everybody luck there. Stick with your exterminators to try and help that out. But I'd like to get into a little bit again on kind of the type and the service of different companies out there. What we were kind of talking about with Dave, because it is just it's a personal choice. It's about finding out. It's about knowing and understanding what you're going to get delivered that can bring such a different level of investment to different projects and from different types of companies that work and perform a little bit and different types of companies that have more people that perform all their work. And so when you have employees, one thing is when you have employees, you're paying double taxes on some of that. The company's matching taxes and matching Social Security taxes and all this stuff in what happens to actually have. And then they have benefits. And if you have health insurance and vacations and days off and all the different benefits that come with it, a 401k plan that they match. Some companies match a lot better than other companies. So it's about having good employees and what does it cost to have those same employees. So when you have like an insurance company taking a tri-state area, like I just had one say, well, we're sending this to like a proximity team to figure out what should happen. And they're looking at a tri-state area for an average of what they think a certain labor rate should be. Well, not all labor rates are the same, and not all people and not all companies match and do things and have the same amount of benefits. I've worked years ago, I worked a lot of companies. They didn't have health insurance. That cost the company more. The company pays for a portion of that health insurance. So it costs that company more to have an employee, and then they pass that down the line. So you have a better employee, you have a better trained employee, you have a happier employee, but it costs a little bit more than a different company that doesn't do any of that. And so I remember talking about that landscaper where he's like, everyone that shows up, they're already mad. Like most of the clients were trying to control 16 subcontractors and I'm just one of them. So by the time landscaping's coming in, you're at the end. They're doing grass and grading and seed and straw and whatever. And they're like, I'm already dealing with this upset client because of all these subcontractors. Well, how do you make that different? Well, if you have your own employees that cost a little more and you take over most of those areas and say you have a job and there's four subcontractors, well, then you're 75% more likely to be happy in the end and how this went than if there was 16. There's more hiccups that can happen between all of those. So how they're doing it, what they're doing, you're buying into something better. It's like going to a better restaurant that has better service, that has better ambience. It's like, do you get your coffee from Quick Trip or Starbucks? Well, at Starbucks, you can go in there, you can have internet service, you can sit at a table, you can get some work done, you've got a nice atmosphere, but the coffee costs three times what it does at Quick Trip. Well, you can't sit inside of a Quick Trip and get on their internet and get any of your work done while you wait to go somewhere, like I do all the time, my next appointment and time in between. So you're paying for all these different things, and you do the same thing in the remodeling, in the construction industry with all of these companies and how they work and how they get through it. There's a lot of difference in all of that. And it's really, I recommend having the conversation and trying to see that value. And I recommend that not necessarily because I think we can align with every person out there. We won't align with every person out there based off of personality sometimes. Sometimes they're just really good at running jobs, and having 16 different subcontractors could save them a bunch of money. And if they're really good at managing a project, that's a great route for that person, and that might make us not the best fit for that person. If that person is a project manager, if it's an engineer, if it's somebody that can figure this stuff out and get through a lot of this, it's same with me. I am a project manager. It's what I did. So, yeah, I'm great just bringing people in and saying, hey, help me with this, do this. I'll schedule it. I'll line it up. I'll make sure I'm getting the right thing. So that's a reason that another reason it might just be a different value for different people. It's not always monetary, but sometimes it is. And I'm not even saying we'll line up with everybody on a monetary basis either. You still might end up way off, but we're not going to align with every client out there, and we're not going to be able to find the perfect solution or the right amount of investment or the right way to manage and work through a project for every client out there. But if you hear about it and you know it and you understand it, you can choose that for yourself, and then you don't have to worry about not knowing, not understanding. Okay, this is what, I wish I would have got, but you don't realize maybe it wouldn't have worked out anyway. So, but hey, we're going to get into our middle hour break here for everybody. Don't be a stranger here. 314-436-7900 is how you'll find me. And we'll have more home improvement. We'll take your calls right after this. All right. Here we go. You are a part of the Home Improvement Show. We've got some time left for everybody. So don't forget, you can give me a call, 314-436-7900. And we've been talking a lot about just different types of companies, single line companies, full service companies. There's so many different types of companies out there that specialize in roofing, siding, but maybe they don't do doors and windows. There's definitely types of companies like ours, like Mosby Building Arts, that can do pretty much about 80% of everything out there. And what we can't do in-house with our own people, we will be able to perform by bringing in a trade partner. And I use those words because a subcontractor, it's the same thing. But if you're talking about, like, when I build a room addition and I need a concrete foundation, we don't perform the concrete foundation. We won't perform the driveway. But the company that we're using, we have one choice there. We have been using the same company for a lot of years, at least 15 or so years, and we have a good valued relationship with that company that we can understand what we're going to deliver. We can get good results from that company, and we can get good timing on the job, and they'll pay attention to us, and they'll help us out to get through things as much as they possibly can. So it's kind of like they'll help us the same way that we're trying to help our clients. So when you have companies that do hardwood flooring or something for you that you've been working with for well over 20 years, that's a little bit different than just bringing in three different flooring companies or three, four different concrete companies and trying to figure out, like, get to the lowest price so as you compile this project together, you have the lowest price. And what happens is then you can suffer on the quality and the service, like we were talking earlier. Everybody wants great quality, they want awesome service, and they want a low price. But getting that cost down, sometimes you go through, you find this concrete company you've never used, and you don't realize that they're not going to have as good a concrete mix as the company that you've been using. So it's a lesser quality. So maybe there's issues down the road a lot sooner, or it's something that could have been avoided. Maybe they don't show up, so they delay your project for like a month or so. We were talking about insurance companies kind of doing the same thing, trying to drag out the process and see if they can get lower prices. Well, I mean, when you think about an insurance company, when you think about investment properties, rental properties, I mean, you're trying to make a profit, and you have to try and get these projects done for as little as possible. And that makes perfect sense in those scenarios. When it's your home and it's where you're staying and you're very busy and you work a lot and you have your own job to do and you're trying to raise your kids and you're trying to take care of your parents who are getting elderly, or you're all these things in your life that play havoc on getting, you know, managing a project, getting work done, then that person's is looking for, they're like, I do see the value in that investment because they will handle all of this for me. So I got this detailed scope of work and I understand everything clearly and I see all the selections I made. So there's no way to get that mixed up. I understand everything. It's all in the paperwork. All the details are there, so we don't have to worry about the devil being in those details because we know what those details are, and we can deliver all of that exceptionally well. It's about the odds of how often do you get it done really, really well and right and on time and within the considered budget between everybody. And staying in line, not having too many change orders only because of the house or things that you find inside the wall, not because of what you didn't investigate during the early stages of the project, or you bit off of plans and then the plumber shows up and says, well, I can't do that. I thought I would be doing this, and this is much harder, and we need to change this, and it's going to cost more. So going through a system to find all that out and know it and understand it and to absolutely see all those details is very important. It's imperative to getting through it well. So, yeah, to me, it's definitely worth just having the meetings, having the conversations, and finding out what it can be, how it can happen, and then making that value decision for yourself. I have clients out in Florissant and North County in some of those areas. I just had one of them that, I've probably done four or five jobs for her. We've did all her gutters. We replaced her entire roof. We did a bunch of interior work, fixing problems from the roofing and everything some years back. And now we went in and we did some remodeling, some new floors, some new painting, some bathroom updates. And she came to the grand opening of our new design center. So we've got this new place where we can bring you in and let you see faucets and bathroom stuff and kitchen cabinets and all this nice design stuff. We'll still go out and go shopping because we can't have everything in this design center. So if you don't find everything you need, we can go out shopping and go to other places that might have different things or more things, but it's just to help get through all that. And she showed up to that and was talking about the value and how happy, and there was still a wire that got damaged in a closet that we need to go back and replace this low volt wire. I don't even remember what it went to, but it was when we were doing the flooring in the base room. So we're going to go back, take care of this wiring for her. She's very happy that we'll even come back and that we'll make sure we get it right. We'll honor that warranty and we'll make sure we do what we need to do. So there's a lot involved in that service and process. And it's just for all the clients to choose. I'll never forget one of my wife's friends was, they were redoing their kitchen. It was a couple of ours that we're really good friends with, and they were keeping their kitchen cabinets, and I convinced her to go out shopping for cabinets and said, at least when you're done shopping for the cabinets, you can make that decision. And if that decision's like, wow, there's no way, you'll never have a regret keeping those cabinets. You'll never look at those cabinets and go, man, maybe I should have gotten rid of them. And she went out shopping, and then she called me back and said, oh my gosh, thanks for wasting my time. Jeez. These cabinets were so expensive, I can't even believe like how much they cost. There's no way I would ever do that. I can't do that. And I'm like, well, but you didn't waste your time, because now you'll never have a regret. You understand it was so far out of range that you'll never look at that kitchen and say, I wish I would have tried to do something different. And if you're gonna put granite on top of existing cabinets and you halfway feel like maybe you should replace them or you might like to, it's worth the discussion to make sure you don't do something you regret. And a lot of times that answer might be, yep, nope, he was right. That's way too expensive. I'm never doing that. I'm happy with what I got, but it's about not having the regrets later. But hey, we're going to get into our final break. If you have something quick for me, feel free to give me a call in the final segment of the Home Improvement Show. 314-436-7900. Get you into that final segment. I'll be here waiting for you. Don't go nowhere. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, final segment. And we've got Jim on the line. So let's go to Jim and see how we can help. What's going on, Jim?
Yeah, Rich. Every month I dissolve Verdex in a glass of water and I pour it down all the drains, the zinc in the shower and so on and so forth. At times, I get like, I don't know, with sewer gas or what it could be, like in the main bathroom. If I would pour straight bleach down that, would that hurt the plastic piping and the glue that they're glued together at?
As long as it's not a lot of bleach, no. It would be fine for the PVC piping. And I would do in a shower drain, I'd do like a half a cup.
Okay.
You could pour like a half a cup in there and then just let it sit, you know, wait 10, 15 minutes and then rinse it through thoroughly for 2 or 3 minutes with hot water.
Okay. I've looked at different places looking maybe to have a type of solution that you could pour in there pre-mixed, but I really have never seen anything.
Yeah, no, there's definitely different solutions that people recommend. With vinegar is another one, because bleach can be harmful to metal pipes, to cast iron, to brass. A lot of older homes have like brass shower drain P-traps, and too much bleach. I would never recommend a lot in really any piping system, but I've heard of some recipes with vinegar that kind of help with the smell too, to kind of clean that out. And I've also in mine now, I have a 2-inch shower drain PVC pipe, and I can take that screen off the top of that from the shower floor and I can see that pipe. And so on mine, I've actually found a kind of like a toilet bowl brush cleaner that fits really well into that 2-inch pipe. So I'll also kind of use some hot water dish soap and kind of literally scrub the inside of that pipe as far down as that toilet bowl cleaner can reach down towards that P-trap water. and actually clean that pipe too, and then you can dump your half a cup of bleach in there, let it sit, flush everything through. And I typically end up doing something like that about once a year, maybe, and it stays fairly clean.
Okay, hey, I thank you for your service. Tell Mike hello. Have a good holiday and a healthy, healthy New Year, you and your family, sir.
All right, we'll do it. Thank you, sir. Have a good one. And, putting that Rid-X down the drain is another good kind of maintenance thing that you can do to help keep those drains cleaned out and just really let those enzymes eat away. I know it's meant for going into septic systems, and we've had some conversation about garbage disposals for septic systems that actually have like this Rid-X stuff that's a part of the garbage disposal, and you refill the caps or whatever, and it'll constantly, when you use it, put more Rid-X down there. But yeah, that Rid-X isn't a bad thing to do in all drains, because it's just helping keep the sludge and the slimy stuff off the sides of those pipes and inside those pipes. So that what Jim was talking about is a great idea to do, and you can use the liquid or the powdered Rid-X, and you basically take that powdered Rid-X, take a tablespoon, mix it into about 16 ounces of warm water, and then just kind of like you're making a glass of tea or whatever, and pour that thing down each drain, the toilet, each shower drain, sink drain, let it sit. Then it'll wash its way through. If you do that about every 3 months, four times a year or something, that's a great thing to help keep the maintenance of your pipes up and just keep them cleaned out and less likely to get clogs and all of that happening down the road. So I would definitely recommend that to help maintain your drains and keep them cleaned out. So, hey, for everybody out there, it's a really good show. Had some really great comments, questions, concerns. Appreciate all the call-ins again as usual, and I will look forward to talking to everybody next week. Be good to your homes and be good to each other.